Translation from the Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhan, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests. Prabhupada. Brahma is deputed as the supreme head of universal affairs, and he in his turn deputes Manu and others as Charles affairs of the material manifestation. But the whole show is for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma knows how to satisfy the Lord, and similarly persons engaged in the line of Brahma's plan of activities also know how to satisfy the Lord. The Lord is satisfied by the process of devotional service, consisting of the ninefold process of hearing, chanting, etc. It is in one's own self-interest to execute prescribed devotional service, and anyone who neglects this process neglects his own self-interest. Everyone wants to satisfy his senses, but above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the individual self, and above the individual self is the super-self. Above even the super-self is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva. The primeval Lord and the cause of all causes is Sri Krishna. The complete process of perfectional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardhan. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ajnana Janashya Sala Chakshumayata Mena Tasmai Shri Gurvayam. Shri Chaitanya Manobisam Snakutamina Bhutale Swami Bhagadamina Padati Chakarantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girinya Kripata Mahambande Shri Gurum Dimitarinam Vancha Kalpa Tribhischa Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming to hear the stories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhan. So this chapter is entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha. And in previous chapters, I think there was mentioning under the chapter Creation of the Kumaras and others, it was mentioned about how Lord Varaha would appear Swami Ramanu's time, and also in the Chakshusha Manvantara. Sometimes he appears in his whitish form, or his coat is a reddish brown form. So the same reason he was appearing, of course, was to deliver the earth as it had sunk down in the Gavadaka ocean. So Lord Bor, coming from the nostril of Lord Brahma, is a transcendental appearance, of course, of the Supreme Lord Himself, for the sole purpose of performing this pastime and giving pleasure to His devotees. So here we're hearing about the Lord of Sacrifice, Janardhan. And this word has been used, Yagya Linga, the form of sacrifice, that the Supreme Lord is Yagya Linga, that all sacrifices, all different forms of sacrifices are actually eventually meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And of course in the perfectional stage, are we meant to render service to Krishna, who is the origin of all forms. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna similarly was speaking to Krishna about different types of actions, we understand there's actions that bind one into this material world, activities that might liberate one, based on Shastra, of course. And you have actions that will degrade one. So we have akarma, vikarma, and karmic actions, based on what has been revealed in the Vedic texts. And when Krishna and Arjuna are conversing, Krishna explains to Arjuna that one has to perform the duties in this world and not try to be a pseudo-meditator or anything of that sort. And if one acts and does not offer their actions or whatever they are sacrificing to Krishna, then that type of work or that type of action actually binds one into this material world. So Krishna explains, Yagyatat kamanyatra lokyam kamabandana taratam kamakonteya muktasanga samachara. The Lord explained that work done in sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. So, the whole world we are bound by actions and reactions, because that is the nature of material existence. What goes up must come down. So whatever action we're putting out there, we will get some type of reaction. And based on the level of our consciousness, we're either performing karma, akarma, or vikarma. So one cannot live in this world without acting. One even has to act to maintain one's body. Even something that simple as maintaining one's body, one has to act. So that is the first point. Later on in the 8th chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna a few questions pertaining to what is the self, what is Brahman, what are food of activities, what are the demigods, etc. And he also asks Krishna, who is the Lord of Sacrifice? Is it Indra? Is it Vishnu? So he's asking all these different questions. So Krishna also in that instance is telling him that the Lord of Yajna or Sacrifice, who's also residing within the body, is Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So the different expansion of the Lord, of course, in the form of Paramatma, is residing within the body of the living entity, and whatever acts that we're performing, the Lord is overseeing, permitting and sanctioning those activities and witnessing what the conditioned soul is doing in terms of action. So the Lord is explaining himself again in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that he is the Adiyadhyaya, he is the Lord of Sacrifice, and all activities, all actions should be performed to please his senses. So there's a wide variety of actions that have been given in different parts of the Vedas. And sometimes for persons who have heard of the Vedas or persons who are interested to hear about the Vedas, they get confused as to why there's so many different types of sacrifices one can be performing, which one is the highest, which one is the best, etc. So in the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining the nature of sacrifices. There's different types of sacrifices that have been given in different Puranas and different Shastras, all leading one, of course, to purifying the senses and gradually becoming situated in the actual liberation, which is being reinstated as the servant of the Lord. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how there's different types of sacrifices put in different categories, and these different categories and sacrifices are meant for different types of persons who have a different type of consciousness, so that gradually their consciousness gets elevated from the lowest platform to the highest platform. Of course, giving it here note and the distinction that the first class yogi, of course, is the Krishna conscious person who directly offers their life and their self to the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So the nature of sacrifices, as Prabhupada is giving in this purport to 425, is that you have sacrifices for worldly possessions, and you also have sacrifices in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. So the sacrifices that are meant for worldly possessions, of course, these are limited to satisfying the temporary material senses, giving us temporary pleasure. And in this way, these sacrifices are performed to satisfy demigods like Indra, the sun god, etc. Whereas others are performing sacrifices by trying to merge their identity into the Brahman existence, or impersonal Brahman form. So, understanding that the demigods, they are powerful entities who have been given authority by the Supreme Lord. So the different yogis also, by dint of their mechanical austerities, they try to offer their identity by merging into the impersonal Brahman. So this is another type of sacrifice that persons might be performing as a way to try to reach the topmost goal. However, still again at the bottom of the purport, Prabhupada mentions that, however, even if this is being achieved, even if one is merging into the impersonal Brahman future, or is nicely worshipping the sun god or Lord Indra, still the first class yogi is the bhakti yogi who's offering their senses to please the transcendental senses of the Lord and at the same time maintain their individuality. So we never lose our individuality even if we become more and more elevated in our consciousness. So when we're performing sacrifices for worldly possessions, we become limited in our understanding of the Absolute Person. We might get stuck in understanding the localized aspect of the Absolute Truth, or we might be limited to the all-pervasive nature of the Absolute Truth. And all two of these are not the full-blown manifestation of the Absolute Truth. Only those who approach the Bhagavan aspect can actually become first-class yogis and actually perform the highest form of sacrifice, and that is pleasing the transcendental senses of the Lord. So the devotee of Krishna sacrifices all material possessions for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, and therefore his material possessions and his own self are seen as sacrifices for Krishna. So this is a first-class yogi. Note that giving up or sacrificing material possession doesn't mean we do not use material possessions, or we do not use our material body, or we negate the senses that are within the material body, but we use our senses, our mind, and our intelligence in trying to worship and please the Supreme Lord. So it is not about negating the senses, or numbing the senses, or making the mind still with no thoughts. It's about engaging all these aspects of the self in the service of the Lord, and in that way the senses, the body, become purified. And later on, there's also different types of yogis who might be performing sacrifices by practicing different austerities, by pranayama, by the Patanjali Yoga system, of course, practicing mysticism. And all of these are ways, once again, to try to detach one from material existence and gradually rise to having one's consciousness merge with the totality of consciousness. So still, this falls short as the Bhagavan aspect is not really realized. So one's ability to understand that they are a servant of Krishna is not achieved. And that is the most important point, that whether one is a yogi or whether one is a karmi or a jnani, but the fact of the matter is we are eternally servants of the Supreme Person, and we perform any sacrifice to try to reignite that fact about our existence. So we're trying to understand that we're servants of Krishna in different ways, in different forms, but no matter what state of body we might inherit, no matter where in the material cosmos we might be in, how powerful or how less powerful we might be, how how much wealth we might have or how poor we might be, the effect of the matter is we'll always be the part and parcel, will always be in relation to Krishna as the part is to his parcel. So we're eternally connected to Krishna in a servant mood. So there's different types of relationships, of course, we can be in, but we're always in a relationship with the Supreme Person. So we might have different yogis, we might have different processes in which one is sacrificing the hearing process, whether it's in the vanashram system, as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, etc. Still, under these social orders, one is meant to study under the spiritual master, the representatives of the spiritual master, restrain himself from engaging in materialistic activities, and gradually take to the process of devotional service, whether one be grihastha or vanaprastha or sannyasi or brahmachari, that we are meant to engage our life in the service of the Lord. So, whether it's following the Patanjali yoga system or the Kumbhakarna yoga system, or just focusing on moving our life phase, our chakras, whatever it might be, the process of austerity or penance or sacrifices, also given in the Vanashram institution, it is meant to bring us to the point of becoming purified and in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. So we're meant to rise to the platform of inquiring who the Absolute Truth is and what is my relationship with that Absolute Truth. So the purpose of all these sacrifices that have been given is, of course, to elevate the conditioned soul, not that we're meant to be in this world and suffer and not have an opportunity to break out of the cycle. The designer of this world, of course, has given a manual how to live in this world materially and spiritually. So we're meant to follow the process of breaking out of the cycle of birth and death by sticking to the manual. Just like we might have a computer or an iPad or an iPhone or a Samsung, whatever it might be, it comes with a manual what to do, how to reboot, how to save your data, how to limit so many things. And when we do have a virus, it's not that there isn't any mechanism of how we can clean out that virus. There's so many there's so much information given to us on how we can actually get rid of unwanted things. So similarly, we are in this material world and we might be subject to conditions of the body, the mind. The senses might be pulling us here and there. The modes of material nature might be pressing and pulling. Living entities might be giving us a little bit of distress. However, Krishna has given his manual beginning with the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, how to live in this world by elevating your consciousness, not being so disturbed by the incessant flow of different types of desires. So our purpose of being in this world, of course, we do have to act, we have to perform sacrifice. And Krishna mentions later in the fourth chapter, when we're speaking about transcendental knowledge, Krishna is explaining Nayam Lokosi Ayagyasya Kutonya Kuru Satama. Krishna says that without sacrifice one can never live happily on this planet or in this life, what then to speak of the next? So there are different grades of material comforts, there are different forms of human life, and the Vedas is giving us a chance to escape from these different types of entanglements in these material conditions. So we have the path of religion, different types and different kinds of sacrifices that are being given as a way for the living entity to come out of the clutches of material existence. So one may begin in different lifetimes, either as a karmi or a gyani or whatever it might be, but eventually rising to the platform of becoming a with Bhakti Yogi. So all these processes, of course, of yoga and mysticism are, and the different types of sacrifices are proved by the Vedic texts, and all of them are born of different types of work. So following them, one gradually becomes liberated. We do not manufacture our own standard of what karma yoga is or what jnana yoga is. All these have been given. We do not manufacture what the Vanashram system is, etc. So all these strictures have been given in the Vedic text. This has also been given in a very, very condensed form in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So different types of sacrifices are discussed in different areas, and eventually all these sacrifices, or the purpose of these sacrifices, is to arrive to the state of complete knowledge, trying to understand who we are, what is our source, what is this material world, and who is the creator and maintainer of everything. Knowledge doesn't simply pertain to the material knowledge we get at a college or a university. It goes even broader. It goes even further than that, understanding what is matter, what is spirit, and who is the controller of both of these energies. That is complete knowledge. That is complete understanding. So the purpose of these sacrifices that have been given in different parts of the Vedas is meant to give people an opportunity to come to the status of complete knowledge and to gain release from material miseries and engage in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Without elevation, of course, to Krishna consciousness, our knowledge remains limited. Knowledge always either remains on the mental, emotional platform, and the actions that we perform based on such limited knowledge is also very, very futile and very, very limiting in their nature. This is why next in the Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada is speaking on this verse today, Srila Prabhupada speaks about how the Lord is satisfied. Prahlad Maharaj also mentions this in his teachings, that the nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, this process is the sure way to actually satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord. So by hearing the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees, by repeating, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, by thinking of the Lord, by performing active devotional service, offering prayers, fully surrendering, by performing or by following this process, in Krishna consciousness, we're able to actually please Krishna and satisfy His senses. So Krishna is pleased when we take to the process of devotional service under guidance of the spiritual masters and the senior devotees who have themselves been practicing. So this is how we can satisfy Krishna by engaging in the process of devotional service, particularly the nine processes of devotional service, and by pleasing the transcendental senses of Krishna, automatically we also become pleased. So in the word for word translation, I think there's this word Yajna Lingo, of course, meaning the Lord of sacrifice. It also pertains to one who is known by the process of hearing and chanting, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this particular verse. And he also explained that those who are not satisfying the Lord are performing useless labor. And they're also not respecting themselves because they are not attaching themselves to their source or their foundation. So by not satisfying the Lord, we are also not satisfying ourselves. So, as Prabhupada mentions here, that our real self-interest is to actually worship or execute prescribed devotional service under guidance. So by neglecting that point, by neglecting to worship Krishna through the nine processes of bhakti, we're also neglecting the real self. So we become very, very impersonal in our existence of this world. So if you want to be, not to speak of being happy, if you want to satisfy Krishna, if we also want to be satisfied, we have to satisfy the transcendental senses of the world by following the nine processes of devotional service under the guidance of the senior devotees. Because we all have that, it is within the quality of the jivatma to seek out pleasure, to want to be in a satisfied state of being. So by connecting ourselves with the source and the reservoir of that pleasure, we automatically also become satisfied. So this is the simple process that has been given and designed in the morning program by Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, we'll be able to make a real advancement that will take us out of this material captivity and into the spiritual realm, into our original relationship with Krishna. Just one last point. In this purport, Prabhupada also explains about futile endeavors and how when one is acting separately or even endeavoring separately then to please Krishna's senses, then our actions, the results are very, very futile, even if it's within the mystic yogic realm or the Kamakanda section or pranayama, whatever it might be. If it's not within the realm of pleasing the transcendental senses of Krishna, who is the Savakarna Karnam? He's the cause of all causes. If our actions are not geared or aimed towards him, then our endeavors are very, very futile. So later on in the Bhagavatam, we'll hear different prayers, particularly given by the demigods. And I'll just read the translation. Says, someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the girls' lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that this is pertaining to when he says non-devotees, he's relating this point to karmis, gyanis, yogis, philanthropists, altruists, politicians, impersonalists, voyeurists, etc. So this is who Srila Prabhupada is referring to, that they might be performing all these different types of austerities, but if they're not taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then all their endeavors are actually futile. So it's not just the karmis and the gyanis as we know them, but also further on, impersonalists, voyeurists, altruists, politicians, etc. So only when we actually dovetail our activities in Krishna consciousness by thinking of Krishna's pleasure, then our actions are eternal. Our actions are, or the results of our actions are for the pleasure of Krishna, and those actions are to our eternal benefit. So above even the individual self is the super self. So Srila Prabhupada says, even above the super self is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva. The primeval Lord and the cause of all causes is called Sri Krishna. So the complete process of perfectional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardhan. So if you want that complete, that all-conclusive, perfectional service, that is to be rendered by the nine processes of devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna. And in this text particularly, Krishna's name, Jinardhan, the Lord of Sacrifice. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Personal devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, our sacrifices can even begin as simple as controlling our eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, because all of these are things that are very troublesome for the mind to control. So in so-called human civilization today, it is very, very difficult to control eating habits, sleeping habits, mating habits. These are just the beginning. Then of course, sacrificing our time and our body to perform the nine processes of bhakti, as opposed to using our body for selfish motives. So the devotee is sacrificing their words, the devotee is sacrificing their body, their mind and their intelligence to just keep the focus on Krishna, keeping Krishna as the center. So using our body itself is a sacrifice, because we're not using it for sense enjoyment, we're using it to try to please the transcendental senses of the Lord. So that is something that we do every day. So in the fourth chapter, Krishna goes to a whole state of how, you know, the yogis, they are offering the different types of outgoing and ingoing breath. They're offering fire sacrifices to try to please the Supreme Lord Yajna. Whereas the devotee directly in Krishna consciousness is offering not only their body, their senses, their mind and their intelligence, they're offering their complete self in the process of surrender, which is the last stage, Atmanivedanam.
Supposing I'm offering something to Lord, I'm just learning devotion, and ingredients are pure as far as I know. So all the conditions what you say make me. How do I know that Lord has taken the bhoga?
How do you know that Krishna has honored
and accepted the bhoga? Just the fact that every day we are offering something. So what is the realization?
Well, I don't have any realization on it. What I can say is, I was listening to a lecture yesterday by Srila Prabhupada, the Nectar of Devotion lecture that he gave in Vrindavan, I think, in 1974. And Srila Prabhupada was quoting the verse, Patram Prasram Phalam Toyam. And he was explaining how in any part of the universe, whether it's in the heavenly planets or on this earthly planet where you might be very, very poverty-stricken, the mere fact that you can just offer with devotion some water or even a sitting place to Krishna. Krishna himself has said if you put your devotion into your offering, no matter how opulent or how small it might be, that he accepts it. So Krishna is giving his word that if you offer with devotion, I'm going to accept it. So we can be rest assured that we've been honoring prasad, and then we can taste that Krishna is accepting it. That's
my answer will be okay. That because Krishna says in Gita that if you serve sincerity and devotion and love, I accept it. Even personal performance. So my answer will be simple. Because he said, therefore we have to assume that he is there.
Yep, Krishna's word is absolute. So he said if we offer him with certain conditions that he will accept it. And Srila Prabhupada has taught us how to offer and cook to Krishna what consciousness we should be in, so Krishna accepts that.
The other way is also by if the other if the devotees are happy, then everybody thinks that Krishna is really good, then we can be sure that saliva is strong into the Buddha and to so purified. He will make our senses very pure.
Yes, and you
can't
wait
anything else.
Well, it's very simple. Devotee can see the looks on devotees' faces when they're having a feast or when they're just honoring prasadam every day. They're very happy, very satisfied. They do not need to go to Hungry Jack's or Grilled or McDonald's. It's not pleasing to them because they're tasting something higher. So that higher taste is Krishna, because Krishna is nirguna. He's beyond the modes, so we will not get attracted to anything lower once you've tasted Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Sorry? The Lord of Sacrifice in this context. It refers to the Lord of Sacrifice. That's what it says in the translation. Sorry, the form of sacrifice. So there's Janardhan, and then there's also the word used, Yajnalinga. Live in this world, no matter how, sometimes I think you might see in the city you have all these people who are wearing the mask and they don't want to kill any microbes or germs, or as Krishna said in the fourth chapter, so long as you live in this world you're going to have to act, and the actions are going to be mixed, so whether you see it or not, sometimes you're performing harm or violence to other living entities. Therefore, whatever it is we're doing, we're trying to offer it to Krishna so Krishna can purify and remove the sinful reaction. So even just to clothe ourselves, to maintain ourselves, so many living entities might get trapped in that process. So all these names of Krishna, killer of sacrifice, what was it? Killer of the sins. So we take shelter of that person who can annihilate sinful reactions, sinful proclivity, and then we're really protected. Then we're safe. And also the how dependent we are on Krishna. Not at any point should we think ourselves to be supremely independent. That for everything that we do, we actually depend on Krishna. Krishna is giving a material situation, how we should live in this material world, how we should even perform karma. Krishna is giving, this is how you perform karma yoga, this is how you perform jnana yoga, this is how to perform bhakti yoga while you're living on this planet. So Krishna is providing. We're never independent in our actions. We depend on Krishna. Thank you for your point. Okay, stop there. Thank you very much. Mantra Shiva Bhagavatam. Okay.